You're listening to America's Web Radio Online. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. I have a very special guest today. At the beginning of the year, we talked about how we can take control of your health and stop being a victim of a medical system that basically wants you on a medication every day. I think for the past several years, I've said at least once a year or once a quarter that if these pharmaceutical drugs were so fabulous, why are people taking more and more and getting sicker and sicker? And every time you turn on the TV, there's another commercial for something else that I question whether it really works and whether we really need it. And under the Affordable Care Act, it's not about health. As I said, it's about control. And the companies that are benefiting from it, one of those are the pharmaceutical companies, because under the Affordable Care Act, it actually pays for you to get brand prescription drugs, but you can't use your health savings account to buy supplements or over-the-counter medications, which makes no sense, since if they're trying to save money, you try to use the product or allow the person to buy the product that's the least expensive, not the most. And today I have Dr. Ted Brower on, and I was fortunate enough to be a guest on a show that he was hosting. We had such a fabulous conversation, I had to have him on my show so that we can start educating people about how to really help yourself, how to really take care of your health. And Dr. Ted, I want to thank you so much for coming on this morning with me.
Well, thanks, Dr. George. It's good to be on with you today.
Can you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I was a state licensed nutritionist in Florida for many, many years. I've got undergraduate degrees in biology, chemistry, psychology, exercise physiology from Florida State University, along with a master's degree there. I've been in this business, in the health business, for 35 years. I've worked with thousands of clients, patients on an individual basis and helping them to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels without the use of drugs. And that's what I do. I've spoken to over a million people at live seminars. I've written many books, many self-help programs. And I've spoken to over a million people at live seminars, and I've done over 5,000 radio and TV talk shows in the past 35 years. So that's a little bit about me.
That's it in a nutshell. This is an expert that we're talking to, in other words. Now, I've listened to a lot of your you're really very well represented on YouTube, and I recommend that people go and just Google your name and go on YouTube, because I learned a lot last night. There's one segment that I was really fascinated by, and that's the 10 things or the 10 foods you really shouldn't eat. And I think in order to get a baseline of how people, you know, where do you start? I think that's a really good place to start. Can you tell us a little bit about the things that people absolutely should not put in their mouths?
Oh, absolutely, Dr. George. And let me tell you how this came into being. When I was in practice, I used to see up to 40 patients a day, and we had the largest clinical nutrition practice in the southeastern United States. We had a huge office. I had my own labs. I had everything set up. And what happened, I started finding that most people that were coming in with different types of diseases, I include heart disease, diabetes, cancer, coronary artery disease, all of the different types of diseases, they were all eating the same foods. And what we found was this. If you eliminated certain foods out of their diets, people started getting better almost immediately. Mm-hmm. Because the bulk of the American population eats junk all of the time. They're constantly sick. I mean, we're leading the world when it comes to heart disease, to diabetes, and to cancer. The leading cause of death in our kids age 14 and under, other than accidents, is cancer. The leading type of kids in cancer is leukemia. And I started seeing all these correlating events. In other words, when you ate certain types of food, you had much higher incidence of cancer, much higher incidence of pancreatic cancer, much higher incidence of breast cancer. And so we put together this list of the top 10 foods never to eat. And you are correct about that. That we have one video alone on that. There's like a mm-hmm. six-minute video on mm-hmm. YouTube that has over, I think, 1.4, 1.5 million views on just this particular topic, because people want to know what not to put in their bodies. They want to know if they're eating a death food. And that's what we call them. The top four foods on this list I call death foods. But the number one food to avoid on that list are the high-fat luncheon meats. I include bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, and hot dogs. Interestingly enough, at the University of Southern California a few years ago, they did a study, and they found that children who eat just 3 hot dogs a week have 9 times the risk of leukemia versus children who do not. And I just gave you that statistic a second ago, that cancer is the leading cause of death in kids age 14 and under, other than accidents, and the leading type of death in kids type of cancer is leukemia. So here we have the University of Southern Cal saying 3 hot dogs a week increases the risks of cancer by leukemia by 900% increase. Mm-hmm. See, parents don't know this, Dr. George. They continue to give their kids hot dogs. They continue to give them high-fat lunch and meats. They continue to give them bacon. And this doesn't even mention that you have a 60-fold increase mm-hmm. in pancreatic cancer with the regular consumption of sodium nitrites, which are what are in the luncheon meats. And most people simply don't know that. They'll go have a bacon, a BLT sandwich. Well, mm-hmm. if they're going to eat bacon, they need to get turkey bacon. They need to buy it from the health food store. They need to make sure that it doesn't have any sodium nitrite in it.
These are small little things that you can do, just changing what you put in your mouth. We talked about this in our show a lot. You know, the food industry is literally working against us, and they're doing things that make us crave the food, want another hit, basically, and it's killing us. And
No, that's exactly right. And see, what folks have to understand, and I know your audience probably is already understanding all of this because they're listening to you on a weekly basis, is that the food companies, the food industry in general, does not have the best interest of the consumer in mind. They have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders to increase the maximum amount of profits. There are all kinds of foods and chemicals that are banned in Europe that are used routinely in our country mm-hmm. simply because it's cheaper to use them. And when you start dealing with hundreds of millions of products that are being produced more cheaply, you're dealing with billions of dollars in the aggregate over the year in profits. And so what they do is they basically put all of this junk into the foods because it's cheaper to do that, but it causes all of these horrible, horrible diseases. The biggest problem that we have now is that the international banking community, which has hijacked the United States government as far as with Congress and with the voting and with the lobbyists and with all the stuff, the Federal Reserve banks, they've come in now. They've printed so much currency that they've bought up all of the major corporations. They printed it with what's called fiat money, which is making money out of nothing, and they bought up the stock market. That's why the stock market is so high. They did the same thing in the Weimar Republic in Germany in the early 20s of the last century. In addition to that, they bought all the media outlets. 95% of the media in this country is owned by like six companies. Now, these same companies have what's called interlocking corporate directorships with the drug companies. In other words, they own and control all of these different venues. That's why you were telling me on the show last week that the drug companies now are going in and they're primarily advertising through TV. Well, the reason for that, the same companies that own the drug companies who own the TV companies are cross-collaterally promoting, is what it's called. It's called cross-collateralization in marketing. Mm-hmm. And they're using the drug companies to use the TV sets to put people into alpha brainwave states at night in order to try to make them buy their drugs. And, you know, I watched a video yesterday, and they said that more and more money now is going into the TV marketing of drugs to push the doctors to prescribe more and more and more pharmaceuticals for diseases that can be taken care of just through dietary or health or just dietary or lifestyle changes. And that's the problem that we run into. We have so many people now that are believing the TV set, and mm-hmm. they believe the lies of the propaganda machine. You know, Goebbels did a very good job with that. He really, really, the whole thing started with Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson was the great propagandist in World War I, trying to get the United States into World War I, because his government was taken over by the Rothschild banking community in 1913. And he started doing tremendous amounts of propaganda. If you watch the documentaries on Joseph Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister for Nazi Germany, he learned from Woodrow Wilson. And, of course, the same mindset came over into the United States through Edward Bernays from the late 1800s, early 1900s, on how to market and how to completely deceive the population of the United States through either radio, print, or TV advertising. Now that they control all forms of media exposure, they're able to come in and tell everybody how great the drugs are. You have a person running through a meadow chasing a butterfly with a net, telling you how they used to have all these arthritic conditions subliminally, and now they feel great, and they act like they're 12 years old again, trotting through the meadows, and suddenly they start giving you all the disclaimers, like, by the way, this can cause blindness, sudden death, heart disease, and they start giving you all these horrible things, but nobody pays attention to that because it's intentionally being programmed that you're not listening anymore. You're watching the scene of the running through the butterflies' fields with nets. And so now you completely program the population in their alpha brainwave state to go to the doctor and say, hey, I want this drug. That's why over 50% of the drugs within 5 years after they're put on the market, either their warning labels are changed, Dr. George, or the drugs pull completely off the market.
Or there's
a
class action suit.
Look at all these debacles that we've had over the years, these drugs that have come in and had these horrible death rates, and hundreds of thousands of people have died. but yet that's okay because they figure this in with their actuary tables and their account and their accounting, and they know that they're going to make X amount of billions of dollars, and their settlement be less than that, and the cost of the manufacturing of the actual physical drug is very, very inexpensive, so they're able to make billions and billions and billions. So they make $100 billion selling a product, and they've got to pay $10 billion in fines, and their net profit was $40 billion. They look at the $30 million net bonus, and they don't care about the thousands or the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people that died. Number two thing we tell people never to eat are the aspartame products, the NutraSweet, aspartame, or Equal, diet sodas, and I also include in that category the chlorinated sugars that now we have so many people that are using on such a regular basis. And these products have been linked to brain tumors, to brain cancer, to seizures, to headaches, to optic nerve degradation. This list goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable to me how people still drink diet sodas. I don't even understand how they must be living under a rock somewhere not to know what aspartame does. It's a brain entrainment molecule. It releases dopamine. It destroys short-term memory in a lot of people. 10% of the molecular structure of aspartame, Dr. George, is methanol, mm-hmm. which is also known as wood alcohol, which mm-hmm. is also used as paint thinner, which is a neurological poison that cannot be made non-poisonous. Yet people drink aspartame on a regular basis, and it's super addictive because of the dopamine release. It's almost like a Schedule II drug. It's like an opiate. And so the sad part about it is we have all these people drinking these products, getting all these brain problems, including cancer, especially the Galil-type tumors, which are very highly prevalent in high aspartame soda drinkers. And the sad thing about this is that we know this happens. I mean, the Delenium Amendment back in the 70s forbid the introduction of any product like this that would cause cancer into the food supply, and they completely went around it because Donald Rumsfeld signed the final edict for aspartame to become legal when he was running with the FDA. And the sad part about this is most people don't understand what happened, how this product got on the market. Now we have the chlorinated hydrocarbon sugars that were basically pesticides, these artificial sweeteners that are coming out, and those are supposed to be okay too. And see, that's what's sad. I mean, just regular sugar is bad enough for you, but it's better than these alternatives. And of course, stevia used in moderation is not going to hurt anything. Number three to use stay away from are margarine products. I tell people never use margarine. Use butter. Make sure it's organic. Use olive oil. You can use those. Those are excellent products. But don't use margarine. I mean, look at Crisco. That's all margarine is Crisco shortening with yellow food coloring added to it. And sadly, most people don't understand that these are trans fats, and they massively increase the risks of breast cancer in women, and they also radically lower sperm count in men. In addition to that, they've been linked repeatedly to atherosclerotic plaque and heart disease. And yet people continue to use these types of products, and they go to these restaurants, and they order fried food, and they never, ever ask once what this food was fried in. And that's one of the simplest things you could do. When you go to a restaurant and you want to eat something fried, say, what do you cook your food in? Are you using soybean, hydrogenated soybean oil, hydrogenated vegetable oil? Are you using olive oil? Are you using peanut oil? What are you using? What's going into this food? And I want to know what I'm going to eat. But the vast majority of the people, Dr. George, when they go to a restaurant, they never even consider asking what the food was cooked in. I mean, you got to think about that. Look at McDonald's, how unbelievably unhealthy their food has been shown to be, and how many, so many people get so obese eating there on a regular basis. Number four is shellfish. And what we tell folks is this. Don't eat shellfish. I mean, number one, it's a biblically forbidden food that the Torah says not to eat it. The Old Testament says not to eat it. If you don't like that being part of the reason, look at paralytic shellfish poisoning. Plus, they can contain abnormally high levels of arsenic, of lead, and of mercury. In addition to that, you've got the entire Gulf of Mexico mm-hmm. that was contaminated a few years ago with Core Exit. And why in the world you would be eating these are like bottom feeders, and they're eating all this dead, rotting stuff on the bottom of the ocean, and that's why they can contain abnormally high levels of all these different types of toxic metals. So you really have to avoid these types of foods. And I'll make it easy for the listeners. A lobster is an arthropod. A cockroach is an arthropod. All a lobster is a giant cockroach in the bottom of the ocean. That's it.
That's very appetizing on that note.
But I got to admit now, I used to eat a lobster all the time. But back in 1983, Doc, I ended up going to the Greenleaf Golf and Country Club when it was still in business here in Haines City, Florida. It was the home of the PGA, actually, many, many years ago. And I remember they had a huge seafood buffet, and a guy by the name of Henry Minks, M-I-N-K-S, he took us there for dinner one night, a friend and I. And we were all business associates, and he took me there, and it was a seafood buffet, all you could eat. And I remember I gorged myself on all this shellfish, all this lobster, all these clams, all this stuff, right? I mean, it was the best meal I had in years. Oh, God. The next day I had shellfish poisoning, and I was sick. Oh, you haven't been sick until you've had shellfish poisoning. I mean, sick. And I mean, I was vomiting for 4 days, almost had to be hospitalized for dehydration. And I tell you what, that had happened to this boy one time, and I had enough of shellfish. I've never touched the stuff since.
Let's
so
take a
it's
break.
It's one of those foods you got to stay away from.
Hey, we got to take a break and let people digest that, and we'll return in a minute with Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you were able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will continue to rise while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We are committed to working with you. We specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Whether cruising the strip at a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps, a chronic sinus infection, or allergies that are either undertreated or have never been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we use state-of-the-art equipment so you can see the problem. You'll be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment, because we believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. We specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery, correction of a nasal septal deviation, and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office, getting you back to work the next day. And you can rest assured that all options will be discussed before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think we're having a very important conversation with Dr. Ted Brewer. Before the break, you were going through the list of 10 things, but there's one thing I wanted to talk about, aspartame. The fact that when it goes through the system, it becomes formaldehyde. And that's another reason that the liver toxicity and liver disease and cancer is going through the roof. And people drinking alcohol with diet soda, that's a double whammy, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, Dr. George, can I get you to turn your volume up on your end? I can barely hear you.
Okay. How's this better?
Let me a little bit more.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I've had to turn mine way up, and I'm getting a feedback in my receiver.
Okay.
Yes, the methyl alcohol is a neurological poison. Also, your liver has to process it, and it's just toxic. It's paint thinner. You can't ingest paint thinner. There's a reason that paint thinner has warning labels on it. Says this is a neurological poison. It cannot be made non-poisonous. And 10% of the molecular structure of aspartame is paint thinner. And when it gets heated up to over 85 degrees, it breaks down into its constituent components. They use aspartic acid, phenylalanine, and methanol to manufacture this product.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening is the high concentrations of phenylalanine is damaging to anybody as far as from brain standpoint. But if you can't digest phenylalanine, you can just massively have brain damage from this. In addition to that, aspartic acid is an excitotoxin. It eats holes in the brains of the laboratory animals in which it's tested in. And so the aspartic acid component of the aspartame is extremely damaging. I had a friend of mine, his name is Mark Glogauer. He owns Danielle Fencing in Lakeland, Florida, if anybody wants to verify the story. And what ends up happening, and he came to my office one day to give me some pricing on some fencing. He looked awful. And I asked him, I said, Mark, are you okay? He says, well, no, I just had that brain surgery. And I said, okay. I said, why'd you have to have brain surgery? He said, well, I was having massive seizures. And I looked at him and I said, were you drinking diet sodas? Because in one study, in one primate study, Dr. George, that was done using aspartame, every single primate, every single monkey that was tested who was given aspartame developed grand mal epileptic seizures.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Mark, I said, were you having seizures? And he goes, yeah. I said, were you drinking diet sodas? He goes, yes. He goes, how did you know that? I said, well, I've written extensively on that. I'm a biochemist trained at Florida State. And I said, what in the world were you drinking the diet sodas for? He goes, well, my wife, when we got married, was drinking diet sodas. She got me to start drinking, and then I started having the seizures. He said, let me tell you what happened, Ted. I went to the doctor's office and the neurologist's office trying to figure out what would trigger the seizure. they couldn't trigger a seizure. Finally, the doctor walks in with a diet soda and says, here, drink this and see if this will trigger your seizure. And sure enough, he says, I drank the diet soda. He said, within minutes, I was on the floor with a massive seizure. So the doctor knew I was being triggered by the aspartame in the sodas. He then went into the MRI on my brain, and I had large holes in the frontal lobes of my brain where the aspartic acid had actually eaten holes in my brain, which is what it showed in the laboratory test that they do. He said I had to go in, and they had to do brain surgery on me, and they had to go into those holes that were in my brain and tie off the blood vessels so they wouldn't, I wouldn't have an aneurysm. Mm-hmm. And he goes, it was awful what happened to me because of the diet sodas. And so I've spoken about him many, many times, and people have actually called him to verify the story. And I've written extensively about aspartame over the last 25 years. In fact, it was to the point with G.D. Searley, when they first came out with it, they were actually sending me letters because they were so mad I was talking about it on radio and TV. Procter & Gamble did the same thing when they came out with Olean and Olestra because I was nailing them on radio and TV. And I've been doing this. I've been fighting the globalists with this poisoning of the food supply for the past 30 years. But people, when I first started talking about things as simple as trans fats, they thought I was nuts. They said, you know, we can't believe you said that margarine's better than butter. And I'm like, well, duh. Everybody knows that. It's basically a synthetic plastic that you're eating. They said, no, it's not as healthy for you. I said, no, it's not as bad. I mean, we didn't have margarine for, you know, 10,000 years since human history started, and suddenly we've got all these problems with heart disease and cancer. And I said, there's certain things that we're doing that are causing this. It's like, you know, autism used to be, what, 1 in 100,000? Now it's 1 in 58?
Yeah.
And when we talk about number five on the top 10 list of foods never to eat, Doc, we talk about the problems associated with ADD in children. I mean, we have a program called Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy. It's at the bodybyted.com website. Body by TED. It's called the Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. What it is it's a CD set that takes a person through a systematic process on lowering blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels. And when you go to that website, you can also get a copy of my latest book. It's called Breakthrough Health. If you want to sign up for our newsletter, you can get the newsletter at healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. And all of these resources are available for you there at those websites. And if you want to call us, you can give us a call at 800-726-1834, 1-800-726-1834 for those who may be listening on shortwave. But the reality is this. You know, with kids who've come in my office with ADD and all these different types of learning disabilities, we've had about an 88% response rate with kids, if their parents listen, on helping them to eliminate or at least lessen the severity of ADD and ADHD mm-hmm. by changing their diet. A lot of these kids are reactive to red dyes and to blue dyes. And so what parents need to understand is Ritalin or Adderall, these are Schedule II amphetamine salts. They're in the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, and Demerol. Now, I'm not saying you should never use some of these drugs, because sometimes they're absolutely necessary. You got a kid who wants to burn the school down, you got to calm him down. But the reality is we've got, in some classrooms, we have more children taking level 2 amphetamine, schedule 2 amphetamine salts, than we have kids not taking it. I mean, you have 50 kids in a classroom, 40 kids in a class, you got 25, 30 kids taking these drugs, they got to go to the bell, mm-hmm. when the bell rings for their medicine dispensary, every day at school, they have to go take their drugs. I mean, these are highly, highly addictive drugs. I mean, you would never take a 2-year-old child to the doctor who was acting up and say, hey, doc, give this kid a shot of morphine. It'll calm him right down. Well, why in the world are you giving him amphetamine salts as your first treatment protocol? Try dietary change. Try behavioral management. Try anything first. And maybe you need to think just, you know, a 2-year-old is going to be kind of hyper and running
exactly.
around tearing things up anyhow, and that's just how kids are, instead of trying to drug him into a stupor.
Let me stop you for a second, Ted,
because
I think you're saying something really important. And I've said this before. The first go-to that medicine is inclined to do now is to put somebody on a pharmaceutical agent. You said the magic words. Why don't we fix the problem first? You know, treat that with diet. Find out, instead of putting someone on some sort of, you know, medication to reduce their fat intake or control their diabetes, why don't you put them on a treadmill and change what they put in their mouths? We spend a lot of time with shortcuts, and I think that's another problem. People have been mind-controlled, really, to think that you can take a pill and it'll get better. You can do whatever you want and not pay the price for it, but you are what you eat, and you have to take responsibility for choices that you make. And you're hitting the nail to me right on the head. Now, autism, you're right, it's gone up over 100% for American children in the past 15 years. Something's wrong. And what do you think, this is another question I have for you, what about the vaccines, the MMR vaccine in particular? Is there any connection between that and autism, in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely. We all know that. You know that. We've all know that. I mean, last summer, the whistleblower from the FDA came out and blew the whistle and said that they covered up statistics. They fudged the... remember when we were in chemistry, you used to always talk about the fudge factor. You fudge your numbers so you get the right answer for your chemistry test and experiments, et cetera. They fudged the numbers. They went in and they actually took out black men that were showing they had a 400% lab black boys 400% increase in autistic rates after the MMR. We know that the autism has been linked to the MMR shot. We know that. I mean, everybody knows that. But nobody wants to talk about it. And, of course, when you come and say it, oh, well, no, that was discredited. You know, you're a quack. You think that autism and shots are linked together. No, it's not a quackery thing. I mean, the FDA's own insider has come out and statistically verified that and proved it. Now he's been given whistleblower status by the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the craziest thing about all of this is that, you know, we've got to think through this. Now, I don't think that the MMR shot alone is the primary cause of the increase in autism, though it's one of the causative factors. I think it's everything. I think it's the gluten insensitivity that's being caused by the glyphosate, which is being used in all the crops that's being sprayed as a desiccant now. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. Glyphosate is Roundup, and what they do now on the wheat crops and a lot of the other crops, they spray them about a week before they harvest them because it's a drying agent. It dries out the crops. It makes it easier for their combines to go across the crops, and they get a higher yield per acre. Now, they don't even think about the fact that these are finished products. They're already grown. They're finished, and now they're covering them in a pesticide, or this is not a pesticide. It's an herbicide, but it's incredible. That's another liver toxin. And so you dump this stuff. It's also a kidney toxin, by the way. And so you throw this stuff through your body, and now you start, you know, and you put it through your digestive tract, and now you're putting a pesticide through your digestive tract, which is causing a lot of problems. I personally believe with the gluten sensitivity and all these different types of intestinal disorders. In addition to that, now you've got all these kids that are getting like 70 immunizations, and not just the MMR shot, but all these other shots, and they use these adjuvants in these shots, which are the squalene and aluminum and fetal cells, and who knows what else they put in. They're trying to increase the side of the injection to have a better response because they only use a little bit of the actual immunization itself. It's all about adjuvants because it's cheaper to manufacture it that way. And so this is what's going on. We've got all of the stuff we're pumping into these kids, including all of the pesticides, the herbicides, the soy products, all of these chemicals, and then also we start causing these intestinal problems. And then we start messing up their ability to absorb vitamin A, which has been shown repeatedly with the MMR shots. In fact, I wrote an entire book on this back in 2000. It's out of print, but you can get it used on Amazon. It's called Maximum Solutions for ADD, Autism, and Learning Disability in Children. And I go all the way back to the smoking gun. Plus, I go back to all of the uses of these statin, not the statin drugs, the tricyclic antidepressants, like the Prozac and all the other types of drugs that are being used in these kids that are causing suicidal behavior in these children, including having these kids go out and shoot other people and then kill themselves. Then I go into detail, and I follow the smoking gun all the way back in that book. It's called Maximum Solutions to ADD, Autism, and Learning Disabilities in Kids. You can buy it for like $1, you know, on Amazon used if you guys want to get that. It's a great book, and the autism rates weren't as bad then as they are now. Now they're absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
But I do believe there's a causative factor with the MMR shot, especially if you have a genetic marker for that. And the problem is nobody wants to talk about it because the vaccine industry was given carte blanche immunity back in the 80s after what happened with the swine flu epidemic when they ended up having to pay out $4 billion in damages and thousands of people died from Jimmy Carter's blithering idiot stuff with that swine flu stuff that he tried to get 40 million people get immunized and thousands died from it. And so they had to go in. They were being sued out of business is what happened. All these trial attorneys were coming in and saying, you guys are all liars. You guys are killing people with these vaccines. And so they held Congress hostage, and they said, either you give us blanket immunity, or we're going to stop manufacturing these products, and you guys won't have any vaccines available. And that's what happened. And all of a sudden, the chart goes through the roof as far as the required amount of vaccines these kids get, and now they want to do mandated policies in which they force everybody, including adults, to take vaccines. And the sad part about this is we have absolutely no idea, Dr. George, what they're injecting into us.
I agree.
I mean, I tell you what, I would resist at the point of gunpoint if they tried to inject me with an Ebola vaccine after what they just did with the World Health Organization over there in Africa, in which so many of the problems associated with the Ebola epidemic outbreak that occurred over there was directly linked to the vaccine program they were doing through their Kenema laboratories over there through the... I could do a whole show with you on that, on how Dr. Francis Boyle did a big show on that. He actually said that the only place that it was legal pretty much in the world to do those types of biological experiments was over there because the United States had signed treaties against that, mm-hmm. and that they were given immunity in those countries. They were actually testing the population with the Ebola vaccines when this outbreak occurred. I mean, think about what I'm saying.
I know.
And then we had this huge blow-up with Ebola in Africa last summer. We're thinking it's going to come to the United States, and it was all vaccine-induced, apparently, from these manufacturers who are running these facilities and doing this biological testing for weapons research and warfare. I mean, the whole thing is absolutely insane when you start digging under the blankets and taking a look at this mess. But let's go back to our list of the top 10 foods never to eat.
Well, actually,
unless I digress into political stuff again.
Well, Ted, hold on. We got to take a break, and then we can pick that up when we come back. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because I believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that's individualized. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing or your child has frequent throat infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you will be treated as an individual, not an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed, and all of your questions will be answered. And when possible, I will recommend natural treatments to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you were able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will continue to rise while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We are committed to working with you. We specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Today we're talking to Dr. Ted Brower, who's giving us an education. And I think everything, first of all, I always counsel my listeners, I'm sure you do, to people who listen to you, Ted. Don't listen to what we're saying. Go and look it up yourself. Everything he just said is on the internet, and I've actually read it myself. Just know that the United States government has a patent on the Ebola strain. I think it's the Reston strain. I mean, just think about this for a second. It's follow the money. If you have any question about anything, you need to look at the lines where the money's going and where it's who's benefiting from it. And then, you know, think about things critically. I mean, this is a system that's bigger than us. And you talked about the Roundup, you know, glyphosate, but they're actually Roundup ready seeds. That's part of the genetically modified seeds that they've created by Monsanto et al. Mm-hmm. That you don't even have to, technically, what had happened was, they created these seeds that had Roundup within them so that when they grew, they would naturally decrease the weed production, right? So they would be a natural herbicide. But in actuality, the weeds have become resistant, and now they have to spray more glyphosate on the crops, like you just described. So we're now getting a double dose of this crap. It's going into our system, and I'm an ENT, so what I'm seeing is people coming in with food allergies, with children with food allergies, is going off the chart. Problems with, you know, just an inflammatory response that just you cannot turn off. And part of it, I believe, is what we're eating, and that gluten sensitivity that you just described is part and parcel to that. And if you can't digest your food, that is the first line of taking your nutrition. If your GI tract is screwed up, you can't really, you know, absorb vitamins. You can't, even if you're eating an organic diet, it's not effective. So we have to think about this from the cellular level out. And I love the fact that you're a scientist. You know, you're not just a nutritionist. You're not talking, you know, out in the air here. You live this, you breathe this, and you totally understand this. And that's what's the beauty of reading your books and listening to you now. This is an education that people need to pay attention to. So on that, I'll let you go back.
Yeah, I want to do one thing. Since we talked about the Ebola thing, I want to give you a little bit more information on that.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that people don't want to talk about anymore because it's, quote, over with. Well, it's not over with.
No.
Let me tell you. Okay, Dr. Francis Boyle was on a talk show back October 22nd, 2014. He is the person who helped write, pretty much single-handedly wrote, the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989. He said that this act said if you started doing this stuff in the United States, it was punishable by life in prison. Now, however, the labs in Africa, they circumvented the laws. There were three countries that were not involved in this, that they refused to sign this. There was the Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. Now, what they have is they have biosafety level 4 hazard laboratories there. These are the ones that come in which they do the biological warfare testing. And what they have, what these are, they're like you saw in that one movie with Dustin Hoffman
a few years ago, Outbreak, mm-hmm.
in which they go in and they have to go in a space suit and they have to connect to an umbilical to have positive air pressure in their space suit. And all these rooms are hermetically sealed and they can be burned or frozen or flooded or whatever they have to do in case this stuff gets out or the people end up dying inside of the rooms. These are bio level 4. These are the highest level you can get.
Mm-hmm.
They're for these biological weapons research. Now, when they built these laboratories, they put them back over there in these countries. And so the CDC and Tulane, the Center for Disease Control and Tulane University, have been there in these African countries since 1988, along with Colombia, working on the biological weapons. The Ebola agent normally was a 50% fatality rate. This one they had gotten up to a 70% fatality rate. Dr. Boyle said it appeared to have been genetically modified to be airborne to some extent. Now, what was interesting, they said that they were trying to mate it with the cold virus to make it more viral. This is what they're doing with the biological weapons research. The Sierra Leone government shut down the Kanama research facility. They accused them of starting the pandemic by using their people who live there as guinea pigs and giving them these shots to see if they were going to be immune to Ebola. This is what happened. Nobody wants to talk about this. And now, he said that this whole thing was a front agency for the CIA through Fort Detrick for the Centers of Disease Control working with the CIA. This is what Dr. Francis Boyle said, who was the person who wrote the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act. I mean, this is some serious stuff, Dr. George, and the mainstream media wouldn't touch this. They wouldn't touch this. And then what happened is they started killing the Red Cross workers over there and stopping them from giving these immunizations. They started stoning them to death. And then suddenly they were able to contain this outbreak. Now, what's also interesting, too, Obama ends up sending, 5,000 military troops over there, not construction troops, but I'm talking about hardcore military dudes who went in to contain the problem that was associated over there. Now, the reason that happened, in my opinion, and some other people feel the same way, is that this is a huge area for diamond and gold production in the world. They're one of the top gold and diamond producers in the world, and they've been on strike. And the government there was in alignment with the Rothschild banking cartel, the Cecil Rhodes people, as far as the ownership of the diamond mines. And they were about to have a government coup over all of this, and they had to go in and stabilize the entire government to stabilize the net worth in the diamond mine and the gold mines for the Rothschild banking cartel super banks that run the world. I mean, this is what happened over there that nobody wants to talk about, and I actually broke this down. I have all the research done on who owns the gold mines, and it all went back to the Rothschilds and Cecil Rhodes and the Beers. And this is what's interesting. Nobody wants to go into detail. Why in the world do we still have 5,000 troops in the Horn of Africa over there in these countries? Well, it's to maintain political stability because of the natural resources, because that's the next place they can go in the world and rob and rape and pillage. But that's beside the point on this show. Let's go back to the top 10 foods never to eat. And you can tell I've been doing the Power Hour a long time. I've had to diversify my knowledge base on all these different sub-subjects.
Well, let me stop you. Let me jumpstart the conversation about the health side of this, because I think people, there's now in the news things about fluoride, and finally some news is coming out about how bad it is tell the listeners about that. And you had a really interesting take on chlorine as well and how that causes atherosclerosis.
Number six we tell people on my top 10 list never to eat, and I've been doing this now, remember, over 30 years, are the fluoride products and the chlorine products. And mm-hmm. I've gotten so many arguments with dentists who don't want to read their own literature. I mean, the Harvard came out with a study a couple of years ago, said that you had a 20-point drop in IQ score in kids that were giving fluoride in their baby formulas in their water because it was so toxic. It's rat poison, for heaven's sakes. Fluoride's a neurological poison again. It cannot be made non-poisonous. It's a byproduct of the fertilizer industry and the aluminum production. And it's incredibly poisonous, and it's a neurotoxin. And what it also does, Doc, you may not even be aware of this one, it calcifies the pineal gland. The pineal gland is the gland right behind the eyes. It's called the third eye by the ancients. And a lot of research now seems to indicate that it helps to give the person more spiritual insight as far as giving them a more, it makes them more aware of what's going on around them. And when you get too much fluoride, you become servile and infertile. Now, I find it fascinating that Nazis first used fluoride in the concentration camps, and then we got all of that research in 1945 when we liberated the Nazi concentration camps, and then in 1946, we started pumping fluoride into the water supply in the United States. That's when it started, right after we got the research from the Nazi concentration camps from Mengele and the boys over there who were doing all these experiments on humans. So now we've got an entirely dumbed-down population from fluoride whose pineal glands have been calcified, and they don't have any idea of what's going on or who's doing anything to anybody. They sit around the TV set at night in an alpha brainwave state, eating their Doritos, drinking their diet sodas, drooling on themselves, watching their sports shows, wondering why in the world there's too many commercials, and thinking about what drugs they need to take next because they've been told repeatedly during the commercial breaks they need to take more drugs. And the sad part about it is that's what the population has turned into. That's why our SAT scores are down. That's all of this. Then you deal with the statin drugs for cholesterol. With statin drugs should be pulled off the market. It is so easy to control cholesterol, and now the latest study was just shown that it's not the cholesterol in the diet that's causing any of this. Your body produces cholesterol anyhow, but they want to put people on statin drugs, which causes liver damage, which causes kidney failure, which turns your brain to mush. And nobody wants to talk about the fact that when your cholesterol goes under 200, that your testosterone production drops to the floor and all cancer rates go through the ceiling with cholesterol under 200. Nobody wants to discuss any of this. Cholesterol is not the culprit. It's the inflammation. It's all of these different things that are being done in the body because of all the toxicity that's causing so many of these problems. It's not drinking enough water. It's drinking too much fluoride. It's drinking the chlorine. Chlorine's been linked specifically to heart disease, but nobody wants to talk about that. And so that's why we tell folks, use a filter, use a reverse osmosis system, or use a distiller. But you cannot be drinking chlorine and fluoride because these are both unbelievable poisons. I mean, chlorine was used in World War I as gas to kill people. And you remember when we were an organic chemistry doc mm-hmm. and we had to do the experiments and we had to release chlorine vapors in the laboratory, we had to use a vented vapor hood.
Yeah.
You had to get underneath the hood with a huge vacuum line in it, sucking all the stuff outside, blowing it into the atmosphere, because they said if you try to do this experiment inside this laboratory and you release chlorine gas, everybody in this room is either going to be dead or in the hospital. And so we had to use vacuum hoods to do that. And see, but they don't think about that, but then they pump it in the water supply to get the bacteria out, which is necessary in most cases because they don't have the other facilities. But then you don't have to drink that. You need to get that stuff back out of your water before you put it into your body. The same thing with fluoride. We got fluoride in our toothpaste. We got fluoride in our mouthwash. We got fluoride in our rinses.
Mm-hmm.
We got fluoride at the dentist's office. We're getting these constant bombardments, fluoride in the water. We're being constantly bombarded with huge amounts of fluoride, calcifying the pineal gland, making us lose our reasoning skills, reducing our IQ scores, and it's supposed to be okay. It's not okay.
Well,
in fact, if you go to the healthmasters.com website or the bodybyted.com website, we've got the Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program, plus we've also got the book Breakthrough Health, which we expose all of this stuff on these top 10 foods. We also talk about the Gardasil shot and what it's doing to all these poor girls taking the Gardasil shot. And let's not even talk about the hepatitis shot that's given to newborn infants.
Yeah.
The only reason the hepatitis shot is given because they're assuming the mother is a dry IV drug-using prostitute who has hepatitis. They don't want to bother to test her for hepatitis before they give this child this hepatitis vaccine. But yet they've shown that these immunizations given these kids the first year of life don't even work anyhow, but they still give it to them routinely.
Well, the
and,
immune
and the
system's
sad part
not
about
set.
This is nobody ever asks why. When my four kids were born, I told the doctors when they were doing, I had two by midwives and two in the hospital, I said, you give my kid a hepatitis shot, I'm going to own your stinking hospital. You know, my wife doesn't have hepatitis. She's not a drug-using prostitute. We're not going there. And they go, well, what do you mean? I'm like, what do you mean? Why do you do this? Don't you ever ask why you're giving these shots? If you've got a person who's an IV drug-using prostitute who has the hepatitis, well, okay, it's not really going to work, but I can understand your reasoning. But why are you doing it to my wife? We're not going to do this. Instead, nobody asked those questions, Dr. George.
They just let them
just routinely administer all of these different types of drugs and things without asking, why are you doing this?
Well, let me stop you for a second. Let's take a break. And I also want to go back and revisit this chlorine, because it's also about your water exposure when you shower and you bathe. So let's take a small break, and we'll return. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps, a chronic sinus infection, or allergies that are either undertreated or have never been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we use state-of-the-art equipment so you can see the problem. You'll be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment, because we believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. We specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery, correction of a nasal septal deviation, and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office, getting you back to work the next day. And you can rest assured that all options will be discussed before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because I believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individualized. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing or your child has frequent throat infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual, not an ailment. During your visit, you'll not be rushed, and all of your questions will be answered. And when possible, I will recommend natural treatments to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Before the break, we were talking about chlorine and fluoride, and one of the things I wanted the folks to realize, it's not just what you eat, but you can absorb a ton of chlorine when you take hot showers and hot baths. It actually gets absorbed through the skin, and I understand it's even more concentrated when it goes through that way. Is that right?
The chlorine's interesting with this, because what happens is not necessarily as much as the absorption through the skin, which is bad, because it does do
that.
Or you
inhale it, maybe.
But when you combine it with organic compounds, you can create a compound called trihalomethane. In other words, if there's leaves in the processing plant that has got in there from some of the, you know, oak tree leaves blowing in or any type of, you know, organic material like that, and you dump the chlorine in, you create what's called a trihalomethane. Now, the trihalomethane, it vaporizes, especially if you take a hot shower with steam, and you inhale it through your lungs. That's the biggest problem, is the lung absorption when you get in a hot shower. In fact, Duke University did a study a few years ago, and they said that if you took one hot shower that was equivalent with chlorinated water, it was equivalent to drinking 8 glasses of contaminated water. So that's a pretty alarming statistic. So what we do, number one, we're on a well here at my home. That's what we do, so we don't have to worry about the chlorine at all. But what we do at my office, because we have a shower facility down there also, is we have shower heads that we sell at healthmasters.com that they screw right on the end of the faucet, and they take all the chlorine and all the trihalomethanes out. And it actually hangs at the end of the shower head, and it works phenomenally well, and it keeps your skin from drying out from the reaction from the chlorine. In addition to that, it stops all the absorption through the lungs, Dr. George.
You know, I can speak to that, because I actually bought shower heads and for my taps at my house. I don't have dry, itchy skin anymore, and I stopped losing hair. So I can definitely attest to that. Another thing that we wanted to talk about is the atherosclerosis and how that is connected to the chlorine.
Yes, there's actually a mechanism in there. I used to know what it was, but I haven't talked about that particular mechanism in years, so I don't remember the exact mechanics behind it, so I don't want to mention how it works because I don't remember. I can look it up for you, though, but there's actually a chemical reaction in the body when you ingest chlorine that increases the risks of the atherosclerotic plaquing. It may be due from the inflammation that's caused from the chlorine, but I don't remember.
Okay.
But I do know that we have the kids in Vietnam who are using the chlorine tablets to drink their swamp water. They all came back with, like, advanced atherosclerotic plaquing from all the chlorine they were putting into the water to try to stay alive from the bacteria. So that's the problem with the municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
The technology that we're using is over 100 years old in most of these water supply systems. And now they're dumping all that chlorine in because they don't know, you know, how to clean the water, get the bacteria out of it. Same thing happens on cruise ships. The cruise ships, all the water that's running through the tanks on the cruise ships are all distilled water because they're making it from seawater, but then they put the chlorine in it to keep the water clean. However, they won't use fluoride on the cruise ships. I asked them why one time, and they said because it corrodes the pipes so badly when they put fluoride through the pipes that they don't want to destroy the internal mechanisms of the cruise ship and have leaks everywhere. Which that says a lot about what they're doing.
It says
in these
a ton.
Water municipalities, putting it in the water supply, for heaven's sake.
It says a ton about what they're doing. And let's talk about it from a second from an ENT point of view. The thyroid is the master endocrine
right.
gland,
Allergens.
And that's right. And this is, if you look at your periodic table, fluorine, chlorine, iodine are all in the same periodic column. And so the thyroid can take in fluoride and chlorine, and it can mess the thyroid up. And that's another mechanism that'll mess up sex hormone production, your metabolism, you know, weight gain, sluggishness, problems everywhere is also being driven by the thyroid, unfortunately, getting this stuff incorporated within it, and bromine as well. And I understand, too, that table salt doesn't use iodine anymore. It's not even iodized. They put bromine in it. So it's all about the cheapest iteration. These things are waste products from industrial use. This is not elemental fluoride. This is industrial fluoride, mostly from China, I understand. They just sell us their crap.
Acid.
Yeah. And, I mean, you're drinking things that you wouldn't even... And even plastic, right? Isn't it made from petroleum waste products? You know,
yeah,
from the gasoline
industry?
That's
the next thing we're going to talk about on our list is basically the BPA, the benzenal A.
Mm-hmm.
But also remember... And you're exactly right about the halogens. You got the bromine, you got the chlorine, you got the fluorine. And what happens is the body thinks that this fluorine that you're ingesting, this fluoride, is iodine. That's why it goes to the thyroid, because it's a halogen. And now the manufacturers and the government, they know this. They know this. I mean, there's not even, they know this. They went to the same laboratories that you and I did. I mean, they know what it does, but they don't care. Again, because anything they can get through, see, you have to understand something. The global banking community that runs the planet, they don't see you and I as human beings. They see us as animals. They see us as cattle, so to speak. They don't care whether they kill you or kill me or kill any of us. The only thing they care about is their fiduciary responsibilities, their stockholders and shareholders, to increase the profits and the bottom lines. And if that means they've got to kill the population to do it, they have more money for themselves, they don't care. And see, that's the difference between us and the globalists. We actually care about what we're doing, but they don't care. And that's why they don't care if they go into Iraq and they kill 1 million people, women, children, and civilians. They don't care. If they go into Syria and kill people, they don't care. If they go into Iran and they kill people, they don't care. If they go into Palestine and they kill people, they don't care. They don't care. And this is if they go into Crimea, they don't care. See, that's the thing that nobody gets, is we see things differently because we value human life. They don't, because they don't see us as... They see us as soulless animals, is how they actually say it in their own literature. And so when you start looking at what they do and what they believe, it kind of freaks you out, because you can't understand how they have that type of mindset. And that's what they do. They don't care if they start World War III. They think there are too many people on the planet anyhow. I mean, the whole thing, they're all a bunch of weirdos, what they are. And then it goes a whole back into what's called that Luciferian doctrine. And I know it sounds odd to say that on a nutrition show, but that's where it all goes back to, because these people are not what you think they are. These are very evil human beings that think that they're better than everybody else. But lest we digress on that, let's finish this top 10 list. BPA, bisphenol A, needs to be completely avoided. It's an estrogen compound that changes the estrogen levels in human beings and elevates estrogen in little boys. Now, I remember when I was at Florida State back in 1970, it was fall of 75, I took embryology with Dr. Visa. And he told us one time, he said that all human beings, all mammals, are born female, and it's through the gestational cycle of the first trimester, in which the Y chromosome kicks in for the male, that the mother starts producing testosterone, and the ovaries turn into testicles, the clitoris turns into a penis, you know, the breasts don't develop properly, and the little boy goes from a right brain dominated hemisphere, or the little baby from a right brain dominated hemisphere to a left brain dominated hemisphere of a little boy. And he said, what the problem is, he said, if you put exogenous estrogens into the woman when she's pregnant in that first trimester, he said, you don't have the proper secondary sex characteristics develop, and you chemically castrate that child in utero. Now, if anybody understands what I just said, that explains why we have so many Metro boys running around in the United States right now, why so many boys don't care about dating girls, why so many boys, I'm not saying they're gay, and I'm not even picking on gays, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about Metro boys, boys who have a right brain dominated hemisphere, they want to dress like girls, they want to talk like girls, they want to look like girls, they want to act like girls, and it's because they were chemically castrated in utero. That soy does that. Any type of phytoestrogen or estrogen compound, pesticides do that, BPA does that, and what ends up happening is, Doc, is we have this entire generation of kids now that don't stand up like men used to stand up, who used to fight the world wars, and we're all kind of just laying down and pretending like this new global world that we have that's coming over us, that's enveloping the United States, is okay. We've stopped raising little Americans, and we no longer have the ability to defend ourselves from a physical standpoint. And the sad part about this is they knew this when they put these plastics in the food supply back in the 40s. Again, they knew what happens when you start ingesting estrogen compounds into your body in the first trimester of pregnancy. Now they're telling women, you remember when you went to medical school, they said no matter what, women can never have immunizations when they're pregnant. Remember that?
I do.
Now they're saying, oh no, give them shots when they're pregnant. What in the world are we doing? Why is it deteriorated like this, Doc?
I think there's a bigger picture here, and the power of the show is for you to do your own research and you make conscious decisions. Don't listen to anything that we're saying. And ultimately, it's about informed consent and about being able to make conscious, logical choices, not be driven by emotion, not be shut down by people telling you that you're evil or you're racist or something's wrong with you. I mean, that's what they do. They don't
want you. Don't drink for it. You're a racist.
Really.
I know, it's ridiculous.
It's like the go-to ism these days. But, I mean, these things are truths. I mean, if you read, you know, you don't even have to read. You can go on YouTube at this point and listen to the people who've written the books, who've done the research. If you don't feel like you want to do it, then, you know, ultimately, that's your choice. But this show is about opening up your mind and being proactive. Truth hurts, you know. It's not easy to listen to this stuff because, you know, everybody's basically, I think, put on this earth, and they're decent people. They just want to take care of their family, enjoy life, you know, be comfortable and live and die in their bed, you know, without being tubed up and dripped up. But there's another agenda that's bigger than us. It's forcing people to do things that are against their health and against their will. And if you speak up, then you may, you know, have people come after you. And so this is, I'm really blessed to have you on the show today because you're doing the right thing and you're doing it for the right reasons. That's what I love about you.
Well, thanks, Doc. I appreciate it. And if folks want to call us at the office, you got questions, just give us a call. 1-800-726-1834. 1-800-726-1834. I'm not going to answer the phone call. My staff will, but they're pretty much trained to help you as far as what kind of nutritional supplement program you need to go on or how to make minor dietary changes or whatever. But the thing about it is realize this. And I heard an old Baptist preacher say this one time. He said, every pot sits on its own bottom. And it's true. Everybody listening to the show today, Dr. George, they're responsible for their own health. Their doctors aren't responsible for it. Their psychiatrists aren't responsible for it. The government's not responsible for it. The FDA's not responsible for it. They're responsible for it. And, you know, I've never seen, you know, a person go out, you know, and buy a bunch of junk food and give it to a prize racehorse before the night before the horse is supposed to run a race. But yet we buy all this junk for these kids. We give all these kids all this junk. We give them all these unbridled access to the Internet with all the filth and all the stuff that's on the Internet. And we wonder what's going on with our families and why our families are falling apart and why our kids are staying so sick, both mentally and physically and spiritually. And the sad part about it is realize this. If you're going east on the interstate but you want to go west, you got to take the next off-ramp and go the other direction. You've got to make changes. You've got to start making different choices. If you're 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight and you feel absolutely horrible, how bad does it have to get before you start making healthier dietary and lifestyle choices? Ask yourself that question. What do you need to do? How do you need to do it? And how do you need to start? And Dr. George is right. I mean, there's all kinds of YouTube videos you can watch that I've done that's out there absolutely free. In addition to that, you can get our health newsletter at healthmasters.com. That's absolutely free. You can order a copy of my latest book, Breakthrough Health, if you want to do that, if you want to read something. But the the point is, it's easy nowadays to learn on your own and do your own research. You don't have to believe the mainstream narrative, and that's what it is. It's a mainstream narrative. That's why when you watch ABC, CBS, NBC, you can literally watch the shows, the news shows every night, and they're reading off the same script, even the same stories, sometimes the exact same verbiage, because they are all owned, again, by the Rothschild banking cartel, who controls the AP wire and also the Reuters wire, and they tell them what they're going to tell people because of their interlocking corporate directorships, and they say, here's the news, these are the products, and if we don't want to talk about it, we're going to kill it. When everybody started finally talking about Ebola and what was going on last fall, it was like somebody shut the door on the news stories, and it went to dead. I mean, it just went dead. No one talked about it anymore, and because they killed the story, and they do that all the time. When you get the flashlight out in the dark and you start exposing these little creatures, they don't want you to do that. But that's why alternative news is so critical, like the show with Dr. George. You guys need to be listening to her every time she comes on the air, because she's going to continue to give you this type of information.
Ted, on that note, we have to go. I have to have you back so we can pick it up where you left off. Thank you so much.
Next time we come on, we'll finish the list.
Okay, cool. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.